When dealing with our daily emotions that we all face, there can be positive outcomes we control. Is living abundantly really possible for all of us, no matter where we find ourselves today? Absolutely, unequivocally, yes is the answer. Now, here is the host of The Long Bearded Guy, the Chief Catalyst, Strategist Guide at Jewel International, Gordon D. Melville.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. Welcome. Great to see you. You're with The Long Bearded Guy. That's Gordon D. Melville. That's me on Inspired Choices Network. And we're really excited to have you here today. Topic is something that's very near and dear to my heart. So let's get after it. Topic is based on my story. The topic is stigma on a spectrum. And what does that mean? We hear the word stigma all the time. We got to stop the stigma in terms of lots of different types of topics and in lots of different ways. And it's used in lots of different ways that it's being used. So I want to talk about it a little bit because it's something that is something that my heart, it bothers me when I hear people use it in a certain way, because I think we need to be able to move past and grow. So keep an open mind if you can. Hear me out and hear my heart. I'm hoping you'll hear my heart. And you know what? I believe that the word stigma, when it's used in the way that people use it, society uses it in terms of things like suicide and mental health and depression and things like that, that it's I refer to it as a BS misnomer, that it's something that's really not right. It's used in a bad way, and it's perpetuating the challenge. So we're going to dig into that today. All right. Come and play in the chat room. If you're here, let me know you're here. Jump in the chat room. When you get into the chat room, they'll give you a link that you could jump into my live studio audience. If you want to do that. If you have questions, ask. If there's something you want to know, by all means, jump into the chat and ask. And you can download the Inspired Choices Network app for free wherever you listen to your podcasts. And we're going out on more than 450 platforms globally now. We're all excited about that because that's a huge jump. And it means there's more reach. And that's what we're trying to do, is get message out. So find us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen tomorrow, watch it tomorrow on TV, Binge Network or Binge Distribution. You can watch wherever you watch your TV podcasts. So come and play, come and spend some time with us. And we look forward to that. So we get right on to it. The segment number one is definitions. So what does it mean? What does stigma actually mean? So I went to a bunch of dictionaries, and I have my good trusty Webster's here. So I will go to Webster's and find out, all right, so what does stigma mean? Definition number one, a mark of shame or discredit or a stain. Number two, an identifying mark or characteristic specifically. Number three, a specific diagnostic sign of a disease. And number four is a part of a flower. The pistil receives the pollen. So in a flower, you see a stigma is part of the flower components, right? So synonyms for stigma, other words that mean similar: blot, brand, onus, slur, smirch, smudge, spot, stain, or taint. And I have another one, but I'll share it with you in a little bit. So stigma was borrowed from the Latin stigmat, meaning a mark, to mark or brand. And I want to set foundation here in terms of where it's coming from, why it's being used or how it's being used. It comes from the Greek stitzen, meaning to tattoo, which I found very interesting. It most often in modern use refers to a set of negative and often unfair beliefs that a society or group of people have some thoughts about. Oxford Dictionary, so that was Webster's Dictionary. Oxford Dictionary, because I really want to get a rounded idea about what this word really means. Originally, late 16th century, a mark made on the skin by pricking or branding as punishment for a criminal or a mark of subjection. A brand in extended usage, a mark of disgrace associated with a particular circumstance, quality, or person. Collins Dictionary, Dictionary.com, and Britannica are all the same. They all use those same definitions for what stigma is, shame, intended use, mark of disgrace. And it's a permanent thing, a punishment for a criminal. I want to sort of drive that home. Public stigma involves the negative or discriminatory attitudes that others have about mental illness. That's a current popular idea in terms of what people think of it right now. Where we want to look at, where does it come from? How does it apply here? And why is that something that is important? Because to change something, there needs to be an awareness around it. There needs to be an understanding around why it's being used, how it's being used, why it's there. And then a group, all of us together, go, you know what, we need to change this. So that's, we want to dig into that today. We want to dig into, why are we using the word stigma? In what ways are we using it? And what are the thought patterns that come with that? Why is that something that we look at and go, we talk about, you know, somebody that's, that has stigma attached to it. So by the way, please share and like and share this and invite your friends. We want to get that scope out as far as we can. So please like and share. I want to just real quick, sort of the Cliff Notes, Cole's notes of what my story is, so that you understand where my heart is and where this is coming from. Because I was Energizer Bunny for 30 years. And then I was teaching self-care, but I wasn't doing any self-care. And there's a knowing doing gap in the middle of that. And I think that's common. I think we all do that, where we know what to do. We just don't always do it, right? So a knowing doing gap. So what I wasn't doing self-care. I was running 300 miles an hour with my hair on fire. I'm a driven type human. Go, 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 go. And we were taught, and it was built into me as a paradigm, that you put others first. Looking after yourself first was selfish. So again, that's why there was no self-care, because I was like, no, I don't have time to look after me. I have to look after everybody else. And so after 30 years of that, my body said, hey, Gord, I'm out. I don't want to do this anymore. And I was bedridden for the better part of 2 years in late 2015 and forward from there. And my body had no energy, literally none. I would fall down two or three times trying to get to the bathroom. It was 20 feet from the bed to the bathroom. And consequently, I would slide out of bed onto the floor and crawl to get to the bathroom. And so when you take an Energizer Bunny and push them into a space where they can't move and they can't operate the way they're used to, it gets dark in a hurry. And so there was a suicide attempt in the middle of all that. And I look back at that now and think, you know what, that was a gift from Papa that gave me perspective I needed, that I didn't have before, because I didn't really understand what mental health, mental illness, mental awareness, I didn't know what that was. I didn't have a deep enough perspective about depression and suicide and the concepts around that. And so it was a gift. Is it something I would wish on anybody? No, it is not. But it's something. Hi, Gabby. Great to see you today. Thanks for coming in. So but that's where, as soon as I tell people, though, that I am a suicide survivor, some people talk to me different. Some people will discount things that I say. It changes and shifts the way they look at me. And so they're like, well, maybe he's weak-minded. Maybe he's not strong enough. Maybe there's something wrong with him. And then it becomes something that people say, well, you know, we got to stop the stigma. That we want to stop that mark. We want to stop that punishment. We want to stop that. So there's another word I want to use. And I'm kind of, I want to just sort of spill it out. And I'm trying to hold on to it because I want to talk about it later. But there's a very deep seated piece of our society. It's ingrained into everybody. It's part of who we are. And we all do this thing where when we're looking at people, we make an assumption about who they are based on what we know about them. And sometimes we don't know anything about them. We're just doing it by the look of what we're seeing. And we're looking at that, and there's a word for that when we do it. And we don't do it on purpose. And I think it's just part of who we are. It's part of our makeup. It's part of our hard wiring. And we do it for a bunch of different reasons. But I think as a society, we need to not do that way anymore. I think we're fooling ourselves. And so when I was talking about this and thinking about it, and it's something that, like I say, is very near and dear to my heart, because it's something that, like I said, as soon as I share, I have a tattoo. I don't know if you can see that. That's upside down, but it's a semicolon, right? But I'm heart centric, so I used a heart instead of the black dot. And what happens with that's a semicolon is the international sign for suicide survivor. So if you see one, that's what it means. And the reason that that's the international sign, because when you write as an author, when you get to the end of a sentence, you put a period. And when you go, no, wait, I've got some more I want to say, you put a semicolon and you continue to talk. So I could have put a period on my life and that's not what was needed. So we use a semicolon and we move forward. But I find it interesting that the gentleman that put it on my wrist, the tattoo artist that put it on my wrist, incredible guy. But he said to me, Gord, that's the biggest one I've ever done. I've never done one that big. And he's done thousands of them because he raises money for suicide prevention by doing tattoos. So I find that interesting because it means people want to acknowledge the experience. They want to acknowledge that that's happened to them, or they're honoring somebody who has had and gone through that. But usually it's little itty bitty. It's very tiny. And so they want it. Again, why do they want it small? Because there's shame and embarrassment and stigma around having it there and people finding out and knowing. And so part of my mission is to get it out, that people understand what that means, that they see it and they understand it. And that it becomes something that we talk about. I was, because it's a connection piece. For me, it's been a connection piece. When I remember being in a Starbucks not that long ago, and I reached out to debit my debit card to pay for my drinks, and my sleeve must have come up just enough that the young lady behind the counter saw my tattoo. And she didn't say anything, but her eyes filled up with tears instantly. And she pulled her ear forward, and she had a little itty bitty semicolon tattooed behind her ear. And it was this wild, Papa connected us at our heart, instantly connected us really deep. This young lady had a little bit of a glimpse into my life, and I had a little bit of a glimpse into hers. And it was something that that connected us right away. It gave us commonality right in the moment. And so that's something that it can connect us. It can bring us together. It doesn't have to keep us apart. It doesn't have to. We're going to talk about exclusion and inclusion in another segment. So, but we're holding people at bay. We're holding people away. And so trying to bring them in and trying to make sure that we're inclusive, right? So I want to just real quick, before we take a quick break, I have two shout outs again. I want one is my brother, Jose Escobar, is the founder and CEO of the Entrepreneur's Bookshelf. And check it out to learn more about his morning and evening routine mastery program that changes people's lives. And he's got a book coming that launches in January, but it's pre-launched now. So you can get it ahead on that same thing, morning and evening routine. This is a program that will help you install systems on the bookends of your day to maximize your morning and evening routine. It's critical that you set your day beginning and end. Set up your free strategy session with Jose Escobar today. And you can reach him at www.theentrepreneursbookshelf.com. And the other one is Kathleen Schwartz, is the owner and founder at Compassionate Healing Services. And again, I'm very, very, very excited to look forward to the release of another new podcast that she's doing with a friend, Trauma Redefined with Kat and Joe. It sounds like fun. These two heart-centric folks are friends who share the experience of being complex trauma survivors, who will provide a fresh take on how to tackle some of society's most difficult challenges in the mental health space, like suicide prevention, bullying, and so much more. It will air on the Mental Health News Network in the fall of 2022, watch for that. And you can reach out for her at, you can get in touch with Kathleen at Kathleen, K-A-T-H-L-E-E-N at C-H-S-Yoga, Y-O-G-A.com. And again, I really, really appreciate Jose and Kat and all of my other sponsors. We got to take a quick break, pay the bills, and we'll be back. So you're on the Long Bearded Guy with Gordon D. Melville. That's me on Inspired Choices Network. We'll see you on the other side. Thanks so much.
How much of our daily success relies on our mindset? Anything we are unaware of can still impact our lives. When dealing with our daily emotions that we all face, there can be positive outcomes we control. Why is the word stigma such a BS misnomer? Is living abundantly really possible for all of us, no matter where we find ourselves today? Join the long-bearded guy, Gordon D. Melville, the Chief Catalyst Strategist Guide at Jewel International, invites you to an enlightening, sometimes shocking discussion. He will be challenging you to explore your own answers to these questions and so many more. This will lead you towards living an abundant, successful life, no matter how you define it. Gordon D. Melville is live Fridays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is the Long Bearded Guy with Gordon D. Melville. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to thelongbeardedguy@gmail.com. Now back to the program.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with me. I appreciate that. And we want to continue on. We want to talk a little, we touched on a little bit, inclusiveness, exclusiveness, because this segment's called The Challenges. So what is the big deal anyway? Why is it something that bothers me? Why is it something that we need to pay attention to as a society? How come? Why should we care? What should it matter? And where will the thought of this, where will the keeping this the way it is, where will that take us in the long run? We're headed on a path, there is some good things and there's some improvement for sure. But the one piece is that's not there, that needs to be there, is, and I'll give you my definition of stigma. Okay. Stigma, another word for stigma is judgment. Judgment, if you take the word stigma out of anywhere you find it, outside of the flower, obviously, and put the word judgment in, I think it's more honest and it's more accurate. And so what I'm saying by that is stop the stigma about mental health, stop the stigma about suicide, stop the stigma. What are we really saying? I think stigma is a sanitized, civilized word that we use so that we don't actually have to admit what we're really doing. And what are we really doing? We're just being judgmental. We're saying I'm better than them because I don't have to deal with that. I'm above them somehow because I don't have to deal with that. I have a whole whack of my own stuff to deal with, but I don't deal with that. So I think it's a judgment piece that we say, you know what? I don't have to deal with that. It's not stigma. It's just judgment. We're being judgmental. And instead of leading with judgment, if we led with love, when we hear, because we're all on that spectrum, and that's how the spectrum piece comes into this. We're all on a mental awareness spectrum. And I talk about mental awareness instead of mental health or mental illness, because I think there's a lot of topics and a lot of things under that umbrella of mental awareness that don't have anything to do with mental health or mental illness. that have to do with understanding how our mind works, that understand that that include things like mastering our mind and mastering our emotions. Some of that stuff comes under that umbrella. And so I talk about mental awareness, but we think of mental health or mental illness in terms of the heavy things. We think of it in terms of suicide and deep depression and PTSD and schizophrenia and all these things that are real heavy, serious pieces. The challenge is, and what I would challenge that thought process is, I think we're all on a mental awareness spectrum. So you've got real heavy duty stuff on one end, but on the other end of that spectrum is the emotions we feel every day. A little bit of stress or anxiety or a little bit of a depression. You wake up and you go, yeah, I really don't feel like moving today. And we all have that. We all feel a little bit of stress, anxiety, the work or the kids or pets or a project or whatever we got going on, right? But it's just regular stuff. It's not this deep, deep stuff. It's just regular stuff. The challenge is if we don't deal with that regular stuff in a positive way and just eliminate it, that's going to build up and build up and build up and build up. And we're going to continue to go along that spectrum. And eventually we're going to end up on the other end. So trying to make sure that people understand it's not exclusive. It's not them and me. It's not, and I'll include myself on the people that are on that part of the heavy side. But it's not exclusive. It's inclusive. We're all on that spectrum. We don't look at somebody with a broken leg and go, oh man, and judge them, right? There's no stigma attached to breaking your leg or breaking your arm or breaking your neck or ending up in a wheel. There's no stigma with that. Why? Well, we understand it because we can see it. We understand that because it makes sense to us. We understand that mental awareness challenges, lots of times we don't see, so we don't understand it. And that scares us as humans, and then we push back on it. We don't want to embrace that. We hold it away from ourselves. But what I can assure you is this, one thing I can assure you, if we continue to do exclusive instead of inclusive, people will choose suicide over asking for help. Why? Because they don't want the shame and embarrassment and judgment that comes with sharing that story with people. That's why people hold it inside. That's why people don't share it. And it's getting better, for sure it is. It's starting to be a thing where people will talk about it. And we need to do more of that. We'll talk about that in another segment. But it's getting better, but it's still there. There's still a massive, massive, massive judgment that comes on mental awareness challenges that we don't understand. And so I want to make sure that we understand we need to get to a place where we're inclusive. We all understand it. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment. That's why I didn't tell anybody when I was in that situation. And I went through that right after I cleaned up the mess and I went back to bed. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my wife. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't share it with anybody for more than a year because I was in the financial world and no one's given their money to a suicidal guy. So I couldn't tell anybody. And even if I had known and felt I was okay to do that, to share, I wouldn't have known where to go. And so that's part of my mission is my whole concept around 10 million men is about getting the word out. It's about giving people and entrepreneurial men is my heartbeat. But everybody, tools and strategies to be able to deal in a positive way with the emotions we feel all the time. And to be able to do that in such a way that we don't feel ostracized. We don't feel judged. We don't feel like we're wearing some badge of criminality or that we've done something wrong or that there's something wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with us. There's nothing wrong with experiencing any of those things on either end of that spectrum. My challenge to that is when I was in that space, and I always looked at suicide as, you know, that's the most selfish thing someone can do. You know, why are they thinking of reach out? If you need help, reach out. But when I was in that spot and in that space, I was thinking I was doing my family and my friends a favor because I wasn't any good to myself. I wasn't any good to them. I was in bed all the time. I couldn't move. And so I was like, no, I'm doing them a favor by not being here, that they don't have to deal with this anymore. And I'm not dragging them down. So why would somebody reach out for help when they feel they're doing a good thing? They're helping the people around them. And sometimes and that was what it was for me. And that's not what it is for everybody. I know for some people it's really dark and they don't see any way out. I've had head pain that's getting better, but I've had migraine level pain for 3.5 years. I understand and debilitating. I've slept. It's getting better. Thank you, Papa. But it's getting better, but sleeping 16, 18 hours a day to get away from the pain. And when we can't get away from some of the things that are just there and they're just, we can't get away from it. People choose suicide to get away from the pain because they're in this really, and they don't see any other option. They don't see any way out. And they choose that as a way to escape. And my heart, like I said, this is a topic that's very, 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 very close to my heart. Because my mission is to get the message out. We are all on the mental awareness spectrum. Say it with me. It's inclusive. We're all on that spectrum. We need to understand we're all on the mental awareness spectrum somewhere. It doesn't have to be the deep end. Maybe it's somewhere in between. Maybe because it's built up and built up and built up and we don't have the tools to be able to let it out and release that pressure, let it go and find positive ways. A lot of times guys will do a thing where we put our emotion in a box. We put it on a shelf. One of my workshops called Boxed Inside Out is exactly that. The problem is once we have our emotion in a box, we were taught, don't look weak. Don't cry, right? Don't show emotion. And we hold it inside. The problem is we still have pain from that emotion. We still have angst and we still have this bad feelings about those emotions. And so we try and cover it up. How do we stop that pain? We drink or we do drugs or we gamble. Now I have a vice on top of the problem because it didn't take the problem away. So being able to have the tools and strategies, the plan in place ahead of time, that's something I have to do ahead of time. I have to preload, I have to have the tools in my toolbox before I need them so that when I get into the situation, I have them to use. I can reach into my toolbox and bring it up and go, hey, here it is. Here's the tool. And the right tool for the job, right? There's lots of different things that we can use that can be helpful in those spaces to deal with those emotions. There's lots of things we can use and simple stuff that don't cost lots of money. I don't need to necessarily, if I need a therapist or I need a psychologist or I need a psychiatrist or something on the heavy end, something clinical, go get it. We need to be able to feel free to do that. And there's no judgment with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong. We don't look at somebody with a broken leg and go, why'd you go to a doctor? Why did you go to Emerge for? You don't need to do that, right? You don't need to do it. It'll set eventually, it'll heal. Just don't move for a little bit. We don't judge those people. No, you went to Emerge. Yeah. Come on. Let's get you to Emerge. Let's get it fixed. And everybody wants to help get that done. On the mental side, people push that away and hold it at arm's length because they don't understand it. And they're not sure how. Or is that person going to hurt me? Is that person going to freak out? Are they going to, whatever it happens to be, because we don't understand it fully, we hold it at arm's length the way we do with everything else we don't understand. It scares us. We put it in a box so that we don't have to deal with it. So the challenge is that it is a big deal. It's a massive, massive big deal. We as a society need to find ways to change it from exclusive to inclusive. And that makes everything more accessible, more known, more well-known. So people know where to go to get it. And they'll reach out because there's no judgment. There's no shame. There's no embarrassment attached to that. So that's in the next segment. We're going to stick around. We're going to talk about what some of those tools and strategies are. And what are some of the things that we want to talk about or that we want to put out there in terms of how do we fix it? How do we go from here? How do we continue to improve what's already there. And some of those strides we're already making in a positive direction to be inclusive in the way that we work. So you're with the long bearded guy. That's me. That's Gordon D. Melville on Inspired Choices Network. Stick around. Looking forward to seeing you when I come back.
How much of our daily success relies on our mindset? Anything we are unaware of can still impact our lives. When dealing with our daily emotions that we all face, there can be positive outcomes we control. Why is the word stigma such a BS misnomer? Is living abundantly really possible for all of us, no matter where we find ourselves today? Join the long-bearded guy, Gordon D. Melville, the Chief Catalyst Strategist Guide at Juul International, invites you to an enlightening, sometimes shocking discussion. He will be challenging you to explore your own answers to these questions and so many more. This will lead you towards living an abundant, successful life, no matter how you define it. Gordon D. Melville is live Fridays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is the Long-Bearded Guy with Gordon D. Melville. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to thelongbeardedguy@gmail.com. Now back to the program.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for being with me. I want to stop just for a quick second. One of my mentors, one of my good friends and brothers, Austin Haynes, talks about stopping to pause. Just pause and breathe. Pause and breathe. A lot of times we can slow ourselves down. We can ground ourselves. We stop for a second and just pause and breathe. Pause and breathe. And it lets us focus or refocus when we get ourselves into a, and I can get all excited. Again, like I said, this is something that's I jump up and down on. And so this whole topic. And so trying to keep myself grounded. And again, that's a tool that I use that lots of people use to ground themselves when they're looking to have hyper focus, when they're looking to really focus, stopping for a second and taking some deep breaths in, right? We do an exercise where we inhale through our nose for just 2 beats. And then we hold it for 8 beats. And then we blow out for 4. And we blow out hard. What we're trying to do with that is inhale just a little bit. So we put a little bit of oxygen in. And then we hold it. Why? Because when we're breathing, we're not thinking about it. It's just happening, right? It's just going in and out and in and out. But sometimes the oxygen isn't long enough inside of us to give that. We need that oxygen in our body. So it when we hold on to it, that oxygen feeds our brain and our organs and whatnot. That's why. And then as you expel for twice as long as you inhaled, you're blowing out all that stale energy, all that stale air that's in your base of your lungs, deep inside of you. And if you do that 2 or 3 times, I try and do it lots of times with my eyes closed, because I think to be able to focus, you'll find you're more awake, more alert, and able to focus on what you're doing. So we do that a little bit, just pause and breathe. Life's going to happen. Good things, bad things, life's going to happen. How we respond to that is what's important. And it's very difficult to respond in a positive way if we're all jittery and you know, we don't have any focus, right? We're all over all these things to distract us. So we want to pull it all in and just focus. Okay. Segment number 3. on the spectrum. So how do we fix it? Right. It's in a better space than it has been before. And we are going, it's more common for people to share now. There are more people sharing. And I think the more we share, the better that's going to get. So in terms of how do we fix it, what are tools to correct it? And I wrote down a few to be able to talk about that. What are some of the tools we need, strategies even, to be able to make it inclusive instead of exclusive? How do we get that word out so that people understand en masse, not just little clusters here and there, but en masse, people understand what does that mean? How do we change it so that it's not exclusive anymore? We want to talk about it the way we're doing today. We want to have awareness about, because we can't change something we aren't aware of. If I don't know that there's a problem, I can't change it. Why? Because I don't even know what's there, right? There's pieces I have to be able to share and talk about and admit and be aware of to be able to move forward. Being honest about what we're actually doing. It's not stigma. Watch when you say that. We got to stop the stigma. Is that what you mean? Or how do you mean that? Because if it's just that we got to stop I keep saying to people, we got to stop the judgment. We have to stop being judgmental of other human beings in general, not just about mental awareness pieces. In general, lead with love. I talk about leading with love. Why? Because people respond better to that. If I come to somebody all 300 miles an hour and my hair on fire and at them, people don't respond well to that. People don't react or respond in a positive way when we do that to them. If you take the most docile animal you can think of, a Labrador, a retriever, something that's really passive, beautiful personality, but you box them into a corner and then poke them in the face with a hot stick, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to attack you. It doesn't matter how nice they are. It doesn't matter how docile normally they can be, how nice of a human they are. If we keep poking them and poking them and poking them, they're going to attack us. So we need to be honest about what we're saying and why we're saying it that way. We need to call it out when we see it or hear it. When we see people, or it's not something that's there, it's not something that's right out in the open. We hear it sometimes. I got to stop the stigma. No, we need to stop being judgmental. Hi, Jose. Great to see you, brother. Thank you for coming in today. We need to stop when we see it in other places. When we're talking about it ourselves, we need to be able to call it out. We need to be able to look at ourselves. And that's why I said in the ads leading up to it, are you courageous enough to inspect yourself enough to be able to look in the mirror and go, you know what? I'm carrying a judgment about this type of people or this about people. That we come back to awareness, tolerance of people around us. Are we all different? Yeah. Are we all the same? In lots of ways, we're the same. But we all struggle with the same things. All of us, show of hands, how many of us have had stress, anxiety, a little bit of depression, challenge in their life that hold us down? Or we wake up in the morning and go, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. I just don't want to. How many of us have done that? We all have done that. We're all on that spectrum. So we need to talk about it as much as we can. We need to be aware and have awareness of what we're saying and how we're saying it. We need to call it out when we see it or hear it in other places. And then we need to focus really, really hard on leading with love as opposed to leading with judgment. We make a judgment about people when we see them. We people that drive by in a car, people that cut us off on the highway, we make a judgment about who they are. And lots of times we react in the moment, right? I know I do. I try not to, but there's times I do. There's times there's a reaction. There's a visceral reaction to a situation. Stimulus, pause, the power's in the pause. The power's in the ability to be able to hold on to that. Just for a second, give it a second. Take the emotion out of it. Does it really matter? No. Can you do anything about it? No. So let it go. It's not something that, you know, I have enough trouble controlling me, but then I need to be able to actually control me. It's not just a matter of knowing, it's a matter of being. And I use that as an action, as a verb, right? Instead of the word doing lots of times. Who am I being when somebody cuts me off? Who am I being when I'm looking at somebody that's really struggling with deep depression, or am I being supportive of them? Am I giving them a shoulder to cry on, or to somebody that am I approachable in that people can come and talk to me? As a leader, am I watching my people? Am I making sure they understand and caring about them enough to give them tools and help and be available, and giving them an awareness, talking about some of these things with them? I think we need to stop using, as certainly in a mental awareness, mental health, mental illness, in that scope, in that space. It's not stop the stigma, it's stop the judgment. Stop and make it inclusive. Make it so that everybody understands. And I can't say that strongly enough. I can't talk enough about that. I can't implore you strong enough to really, really, really take a deep look inside and go, am I being judgmental when I'm talking about them? Do I look at that person differently because I know they've been in a psych ward? They've been in for a 72-hour hold. Could I walk myself into a hospital, into a psych ward? If I really need that, if that's really what I need, can I do that? If a friend called and said, hey, can you help me with this? Would I be willing to do that for them? Is there judgment attached to that? Do I look at them different? Do I look at them as less than somehow because they struggle? We all struggle. We all struggle, right? None of us have the market cornered on stress or anxiety or depression or emotion in general. None of us have the market cornered on that. So in a very general way, we need to stop the judgment and make it inclusive. Understand we're all on that spectrum. We're all feeling the same things. Human beings, all of us feel the same things. We have the same insecurities and the same angst and anxiousness and stresses. And we all do. Anybody that's a parent, we all do. My brother Jose there just had his fifth child. Anybody that's a parent knows, okay, so he just, there's stress and anxieties and things that come into that. Why? Well, lack of sleep is a good one. And like I say, anybody that's had kids knows, sleep goes away for 4 to 6 weeks at least. And that makes it hard to be able to deal with. It makes it difficult to be able to take things in stride the way you normally would. Why? Because we're sleep deprived. But we don't make grace for that. A lot of times we don't have grace for that. We expect them just to continue to function and plow through. We don't have any tolerance. We don't have any acceptance of that. And we need to have acceptance of that. We need to be able to look at each other and go, you know what? You're struggling with something the same as I struggle with those things. Please share. Let it out. Talk about it. If you need clinical part, then get clinical. If you need something that have your bars read, or have a massage, or do acupuncture, or exercise, there's lots of things we can do. But find something that works for you and then do it. It's not just a matter of knowing. It's a matter of being. It's a matter of doing, actually executing. We need both sides of that equation. If I don't have awareness, then I don't know, in which case I can't be. When I know better, I'll do better. I hope that makes sense. I want to touch again. I'm so thankful for my sponsors, my founding sponsor partners. Kathleen Schwartz is the owner and founder at Compassionate Healing Services. And again, really looking forward to her release of another new podcast called Trauma Redefined with Kat and Joe. These two heart-centric folks are friends who share the experience of being complex trauma survivors who will provide a fresh take on how to tackle some of society's most difficult challenges in the mental health space, like suicide prevention, bullying, and so much more. It'll air on the Mental Health News Network in the fall of 2022. We're excited to watch for that. And you can reach out to her at Kathleen@chsyoga.com. And then my other shout out this afternoon is to my brother, Jose Escobar, is the founder and CEO of the Entrepreneur's Bookshelf. Check him out on the Connected Leaders Academy. Incredible, incredible group of people. It's a membership that to take your business to the next level. This is the perfect tribe to learn, grow, and connect like never before. It's been transformational for me. I can tell you that. The CLA, the Connected Leaders Academy tribe, brings together some of the highest level entrepreneurs from all over the world. Set up a virtual coffee with Jose Escobar today. And you can reach him at www.theentrepreneursbookshelf.com. And I am very, very thankful, so very thankful for my sponsors, for my founding sponsor partners. This show wouldn't be able to do it without them. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for you all. We need to take another quick break. So we'll wrap up after. There's a couple other things we want to talk about quick. So don't go anywhere. You're with the long bearded guy, Gordon D. Melville, on Inspired Choices Network.
How much of our daily success relies on our mindset? Anything we are unaware of can still impact our lives. When dealing with our daily emotions that we all face, there can be positive outcomes we control. Why is the word stigma such a BS misnomer? Is living abundantly really possible for all of us, no matter where we find ourselves today? Join the long-bearded guy, Gordon D. Melville, the Chief Catalyst Strategist Guide at Juul International, invites you to an enlightening, sometimes shocking discussion. He will be challenging you to explore your own answers to these questions and so many more. This will lead you towards living an abundant, successful life no matter how you define it. Gordon D. Melville is live Fridays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is the Long Bearded Guy with Gordon D. Melville. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to thelongbeardedguy@gmail.com. Now back to the program.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for sticking with me, being back. Well, we want to wrap up. We want to review a little bit, and then I have a quick call to action. So we want to talk about that real fast. What can you do? And let's go back for a second, get ahead of myself. The definition of stigma, we talked about that. It's a mark. It's something they would tattoo on criminals. There's a wildly negative overtone to that word in a lot of different ways. As a society, we're all using that word. It's a sanitized, civilized word we use so that we don't actually have to admit what we're doing, which is just being judgmental. So that those definitions, and how do we define it? The number two is about the spectrum. How do we fix it? What's our bits and pieces? We talked about inclusion, exclusion. We want to be inclusive. We want it to be something that everybody understands and everybody gets and everybody knows and understand. We've all had some of those bits and pieces. We've all had stress or anxiety or a little bit of depression. We've all had lack of sleep. We've all had some of these things that we're all doing the same thing. We all experience some of the same things. So ways to deal with those things are appropriate for all of us. We all can use that stuff. And then on the spectrum, how do we fix it? So it doesn't have to be deep depression or suicide or PTSD or schizophrenia or all the things that we think about in terms of real heavy, deep mental awareness pieces. Maybe it's just a little bit on the other end of that spectrum. So being aware that we're all on the spectrum, we're all there together. We're all there together. And so that's something that we need to understand and then check ourselves when we're talking about it. We check ourselves when we hear it from other people. And so I want to make sure we understand, we talk about it, first of all, we need awareness. We need to have awareness about what's happening. We need to have awareness about when it's happening around us. We need to see it and call it out when it's there. We need to talk about it, and we need to encourage people to talk about it. Share their story, share the fact, what they went through. Is that hard? Yes, but life's not happening it's not happening to me, it's happening for me. But it's happening for me to be able to, I'm being prepared, specifically equipped to be able to help other people get through what we got through. So if you've had mental awareness challenge, share it with people. It makes people will understand, they will get that. And the more we talk about it, the more it becomes an inclusion instead of an exclusion. So what can we do? What are things that we, what's an action thing that we can, a call to action we can do right away? Check on yourself, check on your friends, lead with love instead of with judgment. Don't judge people that if we don't understand, we find out. If we want to be there for people, are we going to be there in a way that is comforting, in a way that is trusted? Most people won't open up to somebody if they don't feel trusted and not judged. I go back to the judgment thing is a huge deal for me. Why? And I think it should be a huge deal for all of us. It's knowing and understanding. I don't want to lead with judgment. I want to lead with my heart. It's a much, much more powerful way to live. And it brings people to you. It'll attract people to you. If you want to go deeper on some of this stuff, I do have a coaching practice, a high performance coaching practice. I do group coaching. I do one-on-one. I do speak engagements. If you want me to speak to your group or to your organization or to your company, be happy to come and do that. Reach out to me. You can reach me at thelongbeardedguy@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me on my email. You can go to my website, is thelongbeardedguy.com, and you can book time to talk to me there or to set up arrangements for that. I will have in the beginning of probably mid to late September, I'm going to run another Boxed Inside Out virtual. Just, it's only 1 hour a week. It's only 4 weeks. So it's a nice short program, but it'll take an even deeper dive into some of these concepts that some of us struggle with, and some of us need help understanding and need help with tools and plan to be able to figure it out and deal with it. So if you want some of that, please let me know. Happy to talk to you. It's something that is, like I say, it's very near to my heart. And if you want to help with the 10 million men in 24 months with that initiative, again, reach out, Gordon D. Melville. You can reach out to GordonDMelville@gmail.com. You can reach out to Jewel, that's J-E-W-I-L coaching@gmail.com, or you can reach out to thelongbeardedguy@gmail.com. I can be reached at any of those places. Connect with me. I want to talk just real quick. Next week's show, next Friday, you can see me again. Download the ICN app. Download the Inspire Choices Network app. Anywhere you listen to or watch, whether it's binge distribution, it's any of the iHeartRadio, Roku, any of the places, Amazon Fire, any of the places that you watch and listen to your podcast now, download the free app. And then when we pump out the link for the show for next week, get in and register so that you can be with us and join us for next week's show. We're going to talk about journaling for success pro tips. I get a lot of people that say to me, hey, you know what? I like to be able to journal. I've been told it's good. It's a positive thing to do. It's a helpful thing to do. It's a powerful way to get stuff out of myself, but I don't know how, or I'm not sure where to start, or, you know, it's overwhelming to me to all these different bits and pieces of it. What do I do with it? How do I do that? So we're going to talk about those things. We're going to talk about why you'd want to do it. We're going to talk about here's some pro tips on how to do it so that you can do it day after day after day after day after day. It's a very powerful tool for, as a coping mechanism. It's a powerful tool for release of emotion. Again, we talk about that stress and anxiety. There's ways to, journaling is a really powerful way to get some of that stress and anxiety out. So we're going to talk about that. So come for that. And we will look forward to seeing you next week. Make it another great week. I love you. Great big hugs. Live with abundance.
Thank you for tuning into the Long Bearded Guy Show. You are appreciated and loved. Gordon D. Melville returns Fridays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, make it another great week, leading with love, powerfully designing, crafting, and living out your positively impactful legacy life you were created for. Big hugs.
Thank you.